Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. CLCC, how's it going today? Good. That's good. Where God is good. God is good. That's right, Jack. CLCC, how are we doing today? Are we doing good?
Good.
Good, great. I want to put some fire inside of your bones today. Because there's a choice to make today of whether you're going to stay defeated by giants or whether you're going to conquer them today. This is something the Lord has given to me, a specific word for CLCC and who all are listening to this tape, to this CD, to this message. God wants to do some great things today, but there is a choice we have to make. And it comes with fire. That choice is a choice that comes with fire. God wants to empower you today. He wants to change the atmosphere around you and in this house today so that it will never be the same way. That you will never see giants the same way. That you'll never see problems the same way. That you'll never be in a rut the same way. Because how many of you know that we all have giants to face in our lives, don't we? There's a lot of giants going on right now. There's a lot of ruts, a lot of plateaus that we can get caught up in, isn't there? I mean, we can listen to the news for 5 minutes and then we're already in a rut there. That's it. We might as well kiss our victory goodbye because we're down in the depths of despair. But let me tell you, Jesus, that name is above all names. That name empowers you because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. And don't ever forget it. It's not just some words on a page in a book that's just a story. It's history. It's His power. It's His living, breathing Word of God. The difference between a book and the living Word of God is the book will tell you something, but the Word will become something even more. Come on, somebody. That's good. A book will tell you about something, but the Word of God will declare life into your life. Come on, somebody. This is good. God has got a message for you guys today. Let's just start off with a word of prayer. Well, Father, we just thank you so much that you are here and that you have a choice for us today. Lord, help me to clearly communicate this message. Lord, help me to clearly communicate all that you've communicated to me. Lord, that you would send your fire. Lord, that you would empower us, Father, to not just stand by and watch from the sidelines, but to go take down the giants. Lord, that you'd have us see miracles. That, Lord, that we partner with your angels and special assignments. Lord, that we create an atmosphere wherever we walk, a different atmosphere of your presence and of your glory. That we would go Monday through Saturday a different person than we've been before. Lord, that we wouldn't just be continually filled on Sunday, but we'd fill up ourselves on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Lord. That we can come together on Sunday and proclaim your wonderful works. And we thank you, Lord, that we're not the only ones doing this, that there are millions of other Christians right now gathering, pursuing your name, calling on your name, Father. And we're in this together. That it's just not me versus the world, that it's us empowering others to live like you live. Not because of how strong we are, but because of who you are and how you've empowered us. We thank you, Almighty God. And we bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. 2020, what a year, hasn't it been? I remember when we were praying in 2019, a lot of the different prophets, a lot of different people were saying how 2020 is going to be a year of clarity, a year of clearness, and things like that. And it was. With COVID happening, with all these different things happening, we have seen clearly what our hearts are. We've seen clearly what the church body thinks. And things that have come to the surface, have welled up in the surface. Things that we didn't realize that were probably there. And some things didn't look too good, church. Some things didn't look too good. But it was there. And God wanted to clearly show us where we are truly in our walks. I preached a message about in June about a 6-month checkup that we were looking to see how we were doing and what we needed to do to fix some things. It is almost the end of 2020, and this is a message for us here as a church body and for anyone listening to this sermon, that there is a choice to be made on how we're going to finish up this year. And the choice we make will propel us into 2021. Okay? So this is a big choice for us. What God is saying to us is, are we going to be a David or are we going to be an Eliab? Now, some of you might be like, well, who's Eliab? I know who David is, and I'm talking about King David from the Old Testament. I know who he is, but I don't know about Eliab. Let me tell you a little bit about Eliab. The summary of Eliab was he was the firstborn son of Jesse. So he was David's oldest brother, okay? He was a man of privilege. He had the blessing of his father. His father looked favorably upon him because in that culture, the firstborn got everything. That's what it was. Even Samuel, when he was supposed to anoint a new king after Saul had sinned and God had taken away the whole kingdom from Saul, he said, surely this man must be the new king, Eli. But God said, no. The outside features are nice, but it's the heart that I look at. And then David. Maybe some of you have forgotten a little about David, but David was the forgotten son, the youngest, the runt. He was just a shepherd tending some sheep, which wasn't that really important. But he was also anointed by Samuel to be king because God looked on the inside and not also on the outside. Church, we have a choice today that's going to propel us into this next season, whether we're going to be David's or we're going to be Eliab's. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. We're going to learn a little bit more about David today. We're going to learn a little bit more about David. And I want you not to take this choice lightly. Because, like I said, this choice is going to propel you to the end of 2020 and to 2021. 1 Samuel 17:34 is what we're looking for. All right, reading of verse 34. 1 Samuel 17:34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it." Now, let me just stop right there. That's pretty crazy. Let's just be honest. If a bear came after one of my sheep, I'd be like, well, so long, sheep. You're done. It's been nice knowing you. Thank you, bear, for not attacking me. No, he would go after that bear or a lion. I mean, I can just see something like that. Something like the alligator hunter or something like that would do that. Crikey! There's an angry lion over there. I'm going to go touch it. You know, I mean, something like that is crazy. Oh, no, he's angry. Let me get out of here. You know, something crazy like that. But David would see that those sheep were entrusted to him. And this is a principle that forever stayed with David. Because he went after that sheep. He struck the lion and killed it. And God was with him. Let's keep going. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." One of the things that David could never have done, and a spoiler alert, David beats Goliath. If you didn't know that, hey, sorry. Spoiler alert, it happened. But David could never have defeated Goliath if he wasn't fighting the bear and the lion with the Lord. He learned about how to battle with the Lord. He learned how to realize that it's not him. It's the Lord who helps them win the battle. Those past trials are God showing himself strong. You remember those past trials in your life? Do you remember those lions and those bears in your life? And maybe now you're getting ready to face a giant. And you're like, God, I don't know about this. This is too big. This is too much going on. There's a lot of giants out there. A lot of Goliaths out there. But when we remember what the Lord has done, what he did when he helped us kill that lion, when he helped us kill that bear, when he helped us defeat the enemy, when he helped us overcome our weaknesses, when we prayed and we saw miracles happen, when we prayed and saw God do great and wonderful things, he's still that same God. And he wants you to overtake Goliath today. I remember when I first moved up to Mountaintop, it was a crazy three-week thing. Pretty much what happened was I moved, I graduated, and I got married in 3 weeks straight. So it was pretty crazy for me and Stephanie. But I remember going up to Mountaintop and be like, and I was young. I didn't realize that, you know, you had to plan for certain things, like apartment to rent. I thought you could just go up there and be like, hey, I want to rent the apartment. Okay, sure, here it is. It's not how it works in the real world. Maybe on Disney, maybe that's where it works, you know. Happily ever after, we found this apartment and wonderful things happened, you know. But not in the real world. It doesn't happen that way. So we were up there in Mountaintop and we were just praying about, you know, we didn't have any jobs up there. We didn't have a place to live. We're like, what's going to happen? And because we didn't know, we had to plan ahead in these things. We're like, oh, we had to do this and this and that. And the Lord showed himself mighty because that week we went up there, we looked around, and the Lord showed us that week that we were supposed to get ready to move in, he gave us an apartment. And it was nice. You know how I know it was nice? Because we had free heat. Let me tell you something. Living 2 hours north near the Poconos, you're going to need some heat. Unless you're an Eskimo. And that's okay. If you're that's fine. If you like the cold, great. But I wasn't always about that cold. And neither was my wife at the time. And we got free heat. And that same week, we got jobs as well. Let me tell you, God showed us how mighty he is with the lion and the bear. So that years later, we can move again and watch God do miraculous things. You know what? I love quotes. I love quotes, and I got a good one right here. And the reason why I love quotes, and I'll tell you this, this is just me personally, I never thought I could give a good quote. This is why I like quotes so much. I would always hear these wonderful quotes from like John Maxwell and, you know, all these different preachers and Stephen Furtick and all these, and Billy Graham and all these wonderful people that would tell these wonderful quotes. And I was like, God, I can't do that. That's just not who I am. And I'll be like, wow, these are such good things because it's like a punch. It's like, wham, just nails you right then and there. It's like, oh, that's good. And I never thought I would be able to give great quotes. But let me tell you, God does the unexpected sometimes, doesn't he? And that's why I love quotes. That's why, because it's a proclamation saying that God says, I know you can't do that. But I'm going to give you something you can share. That's a testimony to me about his great faithfulness. So here's the quote. Are you ready? Put this in your heart. Your past victories are your declaration of God's faithfulness for your future battles. Come on. That's good, isn't it? That's straight from the throne room. That's Bethel good. That's Global Awakening good. It's good stuff, man. The same God that's in Bethel, the same God that's in Elevation, the same God that was in Billy Graham's life, the same God that was in Reinhard Bonnke in Africa, the same God that was in Hillsong Australia, is the same God we serve. And he's got stuff for us. I'll say it one more time. Your past victories are your declaration of God's faithfulness to you for future battles. Come on, somebody. Grab a hold of that. Like, thank you, Lord. I stand on that. Let's turn in our Bibles. 1 Samuel 17:45. We're going to go down a few scriptures. So we're already in the book of 17. We're just going to go down to 45. David said to the Philistine, now he's up against Goliath now. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with your sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. David wasn't playing. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David, to say something like that, David was younger. He was about 14, 15 when he fought this giant. And this wasn't no ordinary giant. I'm not talking we're fighting Pastor Kurt, who's about 6 foot tall, 6 foot two. We're not fighting Pastor Kurt. This man was over 9 feet tall. He was a monster of monsters. This man had weights of armor that were in the hundreds of pounds. This man was big. He was bigger than any pro football player you've seen. He was bigger than any basketball player you've seen. This guy, it wasn't just because he was young either. This guy was a man of war. He'd killed thousands of people. He was a warrior. But how many of you know that even the mightiest giants fall when Jesus is involved? How many of you know that even when the toughest situation that we have, we can call on the name of Jesus and he will defeat the giants? And this giant also was this big and this tall and this well armed. And he also tormented Saul and his men for 40 days. He would come out every morning and say, bring me out a champion. Let's fight. Let's go. If you win, then we'll be subject to you. If I win, you must be subject to me. He tormented for 40 days. Side note, 40 days, isn't that a kind of a funny amount? There's other stories about 40 days. The flood for 40 days. Rained. Impossible situation, but God makes things possible. Something fun for you to research. We're not going to go into that, but something fun for you to research. But after 40 days, David showed up. Here's another quote. Are you ready? If you never face the giant, you will never receive the victory. You can't run away from giants. You can't be like, well, I'll deal with that later. That's too much. I'm just going to go this direction. Oh, that's conflict. I don't like conflict. I don't like conflict. I'm not a person who likes conflict either. Trust me. I'm like, oh, I don't want to deal with people. I like to be liked. I like to be enjoyed. Don't we all? Don't we all like that a little bit? Don't we all like that a little bit? We all like to be liked. I'm like, oh, I got to talk to this person. It's conflicting. Oh. But when we're dealing with giants, we have to confront them. Because if we never face the giant, we will never receive the victory. God's called us to be mighty warriors to defeat giants. He's called us to be Davids. But it's up to you. It's the choice. Are you going to be an Eliab or are you going to be a David? Are you sick and tired of having that giant day after day after day after day coming against you, saying your God is not big enough, your situation is too dire, no one cares about you, no one loves you, you're all alone, doesn't matter what's going to happen, it doesn't really even matter, your life doesn't matter? You're trying to serve a God who's judgmental. You're trying to serve a God who doesn't care about you. How do you even know He's up there? Those giants are there. Some of them stronger than others. Everyone has some giants in their path right now. Whether it be sickness, frustration, lies, ungodly beliefs, the church sometimes, we feel like. And it's not because the church is doing something bad, it's just we feel like, well, I don't know. I don't like the church. People get offended by the church and they carry out their offense on that church because they think, oh, it's God. Some giants are the church for some people because they've been so hurt because of different things. Maybe your giant's your family, always in conflict. Maybe some friends, or maybe some that you thought were friends. Maybe it's your work, your boss. Maybe it's money. I don't know how we're going to do this, Lord. That giant is too big. Maybe it's depression or chemical imbalance or maybe even self-hatred. Maybe it's tired and wanting to give up. Maybe it's suicide. There's a lot of different giants out there. And some might seem small to some people but are huge to others. And there's many giants out there, many Goliaths out there. But now is the time to go and face those giants in His power, in His strength. It's time, church, for us to go on the offensive. 2020, we've been fighting a defensive battle this whole time. It's been a defensive battle. It's time to be David's and to bring the fight to the enemy. To bring the fight to Goliath, to the giants. Because in a few verses later, it says, as they were coming closer together, David ran to meet the giant. And the reason why you can run to meet the giant is because you know who's got your back. And His name is Jesus, above every other name. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has the power to set you free from these giants forever and to defeat them. If you choose Elub today, I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's not a bad choice. And you will see victories. Listen to me. This is why Elub is a choice. There, you will see victories as an Elub. You will see things happen. But you will never defeat a giant. You will never defeat a giant. David slew the giant. Elub was with the armies as they routed the Philistine army. He saw the victory. He saw it. But if you're an Elub, you will never be able to defeat giants. If you choose David, you will experience and do miracles and bring victory to others by defeating giants. That's the difference. David defeated the giant. Elub watched. And I want you to know that it's not the same. It's not the same watching someone defeat a giant as you yourself defeating a giant. It's not the same of you seeing a miracle happen and for you praying for someone and doing that miracle by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's not the same of seeing someone win the lottery and you winning the lottery, is it? It's not the same. It's not the same. There's a big difference between the two. And God's giving you that choice today. Andrew, if you want to go ahead and get that song, get ready to go. So what I want to give you, and this is what the Lord's been telling me today, He's giving you the choice to be an Elab or a David. There's no wrong choice. There's no wrong choice, but one is better than the other. If you want to be a person that defeats giants, choose David. If you want to be a person that sees victories, then be Elab. I'm not going to tell you which way to go, but I pray that you would choose David. Now, David, there are different things that will happen because you will have to face giants. Elab didn't have to face the giant necessarily. David did, but he knew where his source came from.